Before we start the show, I have a request. If you've been a firefighter for more than a year or two, you've undoubtedly been part of a response that went horribly wrong. Well, you managed to get out of it somehow, and that's what I'm looking for. The story that can teach other firefighters a valuable lesson. After all, you can learn from experience, or you can learn from the experience of others. And in this business, the latter is much safer than the former. So let's get that lesson out to the firefighting community. Tell it on the Code 3 Podcast. Just email me, scott@code3podcast.com, and let me know you've got a story to share. And tell your brothers and sisters in the fire service how you got out of that jam.
The IFFCOE is definitely a very special place. It's built and designed for firefighters. So, you know, you're in class. I think the average day is 35 to 45 days, something like that. I was there 42 days. So you definitely have to be committed for an extended period of time.
This is Code 3, the Firefighters Podcast, hosted by award-winning journalist Scott Orr. Now, here's Scott.
That's right, and I will not let Parkinson stop me. Thank you for joining me again for the latest edition of Code 3. You are listening to the show for and about firefighters. Give me about 20 minutes and I'll give you a firefighting topic to think about. Now let's get started. If you spend any time on social media, you're probably familiar with Kurt Isaacson. He has a massive presence on Facebook and about 6,000 followers. Chief Ike, as he's also known, has had a 30-plus year career in the fire service. He's also been an advocate for treatment of firefighters who suffer from PTSD. So it was not a big surprise when Kurt decided to enroll in the IAFF's Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Treatment and Recovery. It's an inpatient treatment program held at a facility in Maryland. The program is designed for firefighters and treats a variety of emotional problems. While about a third of the participants suffer from PTSD, there are also victims of substance abuse and other issues like depression. In Kurt's case, he decided to check himself in to be treated for PTSD. As his social media followers know, his request for time off to be treated was denied by his employer, Escambia County, Florida Fire Rescue. Kurt decided to go anyway. When he returned, he was forced into retirement. But Kurt is not sorry he went, even though he lost his job. Here to tell us what he learned about himself and how the treatment went is Kurt Isaacson. Thanks for being on Code 3 again.
Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you. I want to begin by asking you a simple question. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So let's talk about what happened to get you to doing great. You were at the IAFF Center for Excellence. When did you get to the point where you knew that you had to get this kind of help?
You know, after Bill Gustin had killed himself on March 16th, that kind of sent me over the edge. And things were already bad, but it really just spiraled out of control after that. And then, you know, while I was at FDIC. And then so I just made the decision near the end of April, 1st of May, and then I went there on May 8th.
This was another individual taking his life that prompted you to do this?
Well, it was just one of many things, yeah. And, you know, once I realized what the IFFCOE was all about, you know, a decision to fix things and have a better life, I just made the phone call and got accepted and went there for 42 days.
Now, when you were getting ready to leave, you were saying that you believed that your department was going to let you go. Did that happen?
Yeah, they didn't want to approve my leave. And then once I got back, I gave them a 6-week notice. And after 25 years, I just left the department. So I resigned / retired with 25 years on July 31st.
So did you resign because you wanted to or because you felt like you'd been pushed out?
Well, I was being pushed out. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, there's a time, you know, it was time for a change for me. You know, I'd been working under conditions that weren't conducive for my health. They weren't supportive about, you know, mental health. So, you know, trying to survive any longer there just would have been detrimental and would have kind of been a waste to have gone to the COE for 42 days to go back there and subject myself to what I'd been under for years.
So did your department specifically have a role in causing your PTSD, or was it just the fire service in general?
It was a combination, but yeah, I mean, definitely not feeling supported and, you know, working under the same supervisor for 16 years had taken a significant toll on my mental health and motivation, if you will. You know, so, you know, I think it's kind of a combination of both the calls, but also just the bureaucracy and government leadership.
How did it go once you got to the Center of Excellence?
Well, that was phenomenal. I mean, the IFFCOE is definitely a very special place. It's built and designed for firefighters. So, you know, you're in class, you're sleeping in one of the four, what they call firehouses, eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. You're in class, you know, 7 days a week with different types, you know, clinicians. They have three doctors on staff. So it's a pretty special place.
Now, in order to do this, you had to admit that you needed help. How did your coworkers react to that?
Well, I was there, so I really don't know how they acted. But, I mean, on a national scale, I felt significant support from across the country and really from around the world. Firefighters all over the country of all ranks. So that, you know, that support was pretty overwhelming in a positive manner.
What do you feel like the COE did for you that was effective and also different than what you would have found somewhere else?
Well, it's built and designed for firefighters. What we encounter in our career, the social support of just being in class with, you know, fellow firefighters that, you know, understand or get it. It's like a no judgment zone. You know, just the different types of classes that we take from professionals on just, you know, everything from Maslow's hierarchy of needs to addiction to EMDR, trauma therapy, just a little bit of anything and everything you could think of. And I think a big part of it is just disconnecting from society. You basically get your phone a couple times a week for an hour. So you're not on social media. You're not on the phone. You're there focused on yourself and trying to disconnect and just slow things down and be mindful about just peace and enjoying the good parts of life.
That's something that you hadn't been doing.
Yeah, I've been burning the candle at both ends for nearly 30 years. So, you know, I've been going pretty much wide open between, you know, the firehouse over 100 nights a year. I did over 100 nights a year in a hotel. So last year I spent less than 100 nights in my bed at home. So it's just that go, go, go. Eventually you just have fatigue, sleep deprivation, and you just burn out.
Let's talk about that burnout. How did that manifest itself? What were your emotions like that let you know that you had burnout?
I don't have an exact answer other than just being tired all the time. Lack of motivation. I mean, it was definitely different from my personality, that's for sure.
What did the program do for you specifically? I mean, for instance, did the EMDR, was that effective with you?
I didn't do the EMDR. I did the trauma therapy. And it's just you do a lot of writing. You talk about it. You share it with a group of other firefighters. You have a clinician that leads the group. And it's just, you know, kind of going through it and truly putting pen to paper on perception versus facts and just kind of working through it so you face it in a reality world, not in your perceived world.
Now, when you were working in a group, did you find other people who you felt were worse off than you, or did you feel like you were at the bottom of the barrel?
Oh, no. I mean, I was somewhere, you know, I guess in the middle. But, you know, I really didn't think about comparing myself to anybody else. You know, it was like a no judgment zone. You know, I wasn't trying to compare my situation or experiences with anybody else's, just trying to help myself, you know, heal as best as possible.
I'll be back with more right after this. If you own a business, large or small, I've got an idea for you. Why not advertise in this podcast? After all, if your market is members of the fire service, they're already listening to Code 3. And Code 3 is returning to a two-a-week schedule this summer. The price to speak directly to thousands of firefighters, company officers, and chiefs is surprisingly affordable. Reach the people you want as customers. Just email Scott at code3podcast.com and we'll get you on the air. Do you feel like there are other firefighters who should be admitting to themselves that they've got this problem and they're not?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if somebody's having suicidal ideations or they're just not motivated, they're feeling depressed. It's also if you have, like, you know, addictions, you know, whether it's drugs, alcohol, you know, porn, addiction to gambling. So they, you know, they have substance abuse and addiction stuff that they cover there too. But I mean, if you're just feeling hopeless and, you know, that, like, it never hurts to evaluate it. It's, you know, if you have fire department insurance, it's covered by insurance. I mean, but definitely, you know, I think the average stay is 35 to 45 days, something like that. I was there 42 days. So you definitely have to be committed, you know, for an extended period of time. But, you know, it goes by fast. You know, once it's over, you look back and it's definitely well worth it.
Well, it sounds like it was effective with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you know what to expect going in?
No, I was clueless. I didn't know anything about it. You know, at first I thought it was a week long, you know, but at the end, like, you know, once I got there, I felt, you know, I felt welcomed and comfortable from day one. And it's definitely a positive, unique environment.
So what did you learn about yourself?
Just that I had a lot more trauma, you know, from over my life and career that I really hadn't, you know, ever weighted or acknowledged. And I learned that, you know what I mean, you can only go for so long and you're going to crash and burn. You gotta, you know, get plenty of sleep, proper diet, and just, you know, you gotta let your body rest sometimes.
So you weren't giving yourself any time to recover.
No, absolutely. Like, recovery time and just mindful, just chilling out, relaxing, and adequate sleep. You know, I mean, that's the thing that they've been talking about. And it's so true, just getting proper, you know, health, diet, and sleep. Firefighters just go, and we run our calls, we get off, we go to a second job or taking care of kids or whatever it is. And, you know, there's definitely more work to be done in the realm of just proper sleep habits.
What other techniques did they give you to use once you left the program?
Practicing good habits of, like, you know, taking time out when you get up in the morning, just not getting on your phone, you know, saying no to stuff to where you're not just trying to do everything, you know, things like box breathing, going for a walk, you know, exercise to manage stress. You know, those are key things, and just managing your day where it's, you know, you just don't have too much on your plate and you don't get, you know, overwhelmed. I mean, all of it's realistic. None of it's like crazy stuff. It's just you consciously building it into your plan and making it happen.
How did your coworkers react when you got back? Were they tentative about talking to you about it?
No, there hadn't really been a lot of questions. I've tried to be, you know, open and share with people, but I think a lot of people don't know what to say or what to ask. But I'm slowly just, you know, letting people know about it, the positive impact. I'm very, you know, I'm open about it. Like, I'm not secretive. But I think a lot of people don't want to ask the question. So, you know, if it's talked about, it's usually me bringing it up.
What do you think they should ask you? What do they need to know?
I would just, you know, if somebody's just, you know, so what was the IFFCOE like? What's the positives? What's the negatives? You know, how did it impact you? Kind of some of the questions you've already asked me, but, you know, like, I think those are, you know, the big things to alleviate anybody from being apprehensive or scared if they were to ever think they needed to go.
Now, you sound like you were very comfortable while you were there.
Oh, no, I was absolutely. I mean, I was comfortable, and, you know, I'm, you know, obviously became friends with other brothers, you know, so, you know, they do a phenomenal job making it a comfortable place where, you know, you feel relaxed and you're in a positive environment.
So it's a healing environment.
Yes.
Well, that's great. What are you going to be doing now that you're retired from your fire service job?
I'm just going to be running county fire tactics full-time, travel speaking seminars, running our fire conferences that we have on Pensacola Beach.
Well, you haven't slowed down on that part.
No, it's just easier because I don't have the 56-hour work week, you know, at the fire department to report to.
Well, that definitely gives you time to teach young guys what you've learned.
Yes, sir.
Do you think it is that we can get a generation who understands what PTSD is and does something about it as opposed to the ones who want to hide it? I mean, is that on the horizon?
It absolutely is. I think we're breaching it more than we ever have. I think it's more of a frontline topic than it ever has been. I think the stigma is slowly going away. And I just think applying 10 pounds of pressure 100% of the time and just like not overwhelming people with it. But I think that we're on the right track more than we ever have been. And I think you'll see a drastic change just in the next few years.
Now, I will say this. I know that you don't think of yourself this way, but because you're essentially a public figure in firefighting, you're a great example for people to look at and go, well, if he could use this, then I should too.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and I hope I am an inspiration, or I hope I break, you know, help break the stigma. I hope that people are willing to, you know, go do it. And, you know, that's why, you know, I was willing to share. My family supported me sharing it. And I'm just, you know, hoping that more people that need help get help.
That's a great place to end it. So we'll stop there. Kurt Isaacson, great to speak to you on Code 3 today.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
It takes a lot of courage to be that open about your emotional problems, but as Kurt said, he hopes to be an example to others. I'd like to hear what you think of his decision to seek treatment, despite his department's unwillingness to help. You can leave your comments on our website at code3podcast.com/Chief Ike. That's where you'll also find information about the IAFF Center of Excellence and Kurt's own company, County Fire Tactics. So check it out. And now, here are a couple of requests from me to you. I'm asking you these things because you're still listening to the podcast at this point, which means you're a pretty big fan of it, and I appreciate that. First of all, if you have a story about a personal experience that taught you something that you need to know about firefighting, go to the website and click on the link for Wanted, your personal What I Learned experience story. Well, I'm looking for people who have stories where that oh shit moment. And if you learned something from that, that's what I'd like to hear. And another request, if you want to know when the next episode of Code 3 drops, you can subscribe to my newsletter. There's no spam if you sign up for this mailing list. I send out just one or two emails a week. You can find the link to subscribe to the newsletter at code3podcast.com and then click on the mailing list sign-up link. Finally, if you aren't subscribed or following the show, depending on which podcast player you have, what are you waiting for? It's free. Do it right now so you won't forget and you won't miss an episode. And that's it. That's all for this edition of Code 3. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next time with more, and I hope you'll join me. I'm Scott Orr, and until then, stay safe.
To contact us, get more information on today's show, or to subscribe to the podcast, go to code3podcast.com.